Good morning. I want to welcome you again to the second day of our Missions Emphasis Conference. I hope you are, when you sing songs, especially when they're new ones, that you think about the words you're singing. The theme of the Missions Conference is, what will you do with Jesus? And you have to know who he is first. And we sang a song that's had this phrase, Creator God who is Yahweh, just a couple of words. And I hope you understand how powerful that is. Because all the peoples who believe in God, they say, oh, yeah, there's a creator God. Yahweh is his personal name, and he gave it to Moses when he said, I'm talking to you, a personal God who talks to you. And you go, wow, that's pretty powerful. Makes me think like this. I want to tell you a little story about a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, that a family led by Larry and Betty Bartels, who were teachers, colleagues with me at what was called Baptist High School at the time, felt a call to go to Peru to teach in a Christian school, right? That's where he went the first time. And they went, and we thought, whoa, that's a weird idea to do that with all those children. And then when they came back, we went over to their house for dinner. I don't know if Jim can remember, he was a little guy at the time, probably doesn't remember. And Larry took me aside on their big porch and said, hey, Bob, when are you going to go? I go, oh. And eventually, we did the same thing. And when I was a principal leaving Baptist High to go to Africa, I hired a man called Brian Dentler, who was a math teacher, who then he went to the mission field. The next guy was hired as a math teacher at Baptist. They said, you want to go to Brian? No, I don't think so. It's not. Anyway, so this legacy that we would be able to do this because we went to Brian Baptist Church. One of the verses we read was, how will they know unless somebody is sent to tell them? And you go, maybe next door, maybe Grand Rapids, and maybe someplace else. So Jim came back, and he got involved in church and youth. And last week we had Steve Dye, who was the youth leader who finally decided that the Lord was speaking to them to go to a missionary endeavor to Germany. And Jim and Jody, the Lord's been speaking to them. It's been very clear to us. They spoke to the missions committee. They spoke to the board. And they have a plan. And they said, the Lord is leading here. So Jim, I want you to come up. Jim said to me, what shall I talk about again? And I said, just be yourself, which is a little dangerous, you notice. So, Jim, let's pray a little bit. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for our church and the legacy that it has, where people can come and think, the Lord may choose me and send me, and I'd be willing to go. And Jim is one of those. We pray this morning that his heart will be steady and not anxious, but be able to clearly tell us what the Lord has for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
I guess that's easy enough to do, right? Be myself. Well, Jody and I are grateful for the opportunity to share with you just this morning, I think in particular, even the last couple of months of what that's looked like for us. How God has been working, and so we're excited to, our desire is to really glorify his greatness and just how the fairest of Jesus, how fair he really is. And so we're excited to share, maybe a little bit nervous, but as long as I can just be myself and you guys are okay with that, then that'll be good. But we are immensely grateful to Berean, just the ways that you guys have stepped in. And if we're honest, this has been kind of there's been fear in the process at different times, and the way that Brian has stepped in and just checking in and just saying, hey, how are you guys doing in the midst of this? Just asking questions and just words of affirmation, just the way that you sacrifice financially to help us out in the midst of this has been really moving and has really, not only has it increased our trust in God, it has just been affirming to say, hey, this is the path that God has us on. And even just through those finances, not only has it freed us up to continue a lot of the relationships that we've had with mostly students in the community, but also some ministry partners, it's actually allowed us to really ramp up a lot of the ministry, and so we've just been really thankful and grateful for that, and even just excited to share even just a few stories of just even the last few weeks of how God has been working and how he's even paved the road ahead. But I don't know, probably 11 years ago or so, Jody and I, we found ourselves on our honeymoon in Costa Rica, and we rented a Suzuki Jimny. I don't know if you have that image of that. We couldn't find our picture, but we were found ourselves in this 4x4 vehicle, because that's what if you're going to trek around Costa Rica, get a 4x4 vehicle. We're like, we'll do it. So we got this Suzuki Jimny, and we found ourselves, if you go to the next slide, on this jungle road on our way to this hotel, the Arenal Observatory Lodge, and it was right at the base of a volcano. And so we were just really excited to be heading in our Suzuki Jimny 4x4 vehicle, heading up this jungle road, taking us to our destination. We had there's no street signs or anything in Costa Rica, so you are at the mercy of the GPS. So we had this GPS, and after figuring out some issues with the battery and connecting a fuse in the car and stuff, we were following this GPS, just talking away, just enjoying this new phase of life together on our way to the Arenal Observatory Lodge. And we're just going up this mountain, following the GPS. And suddenly we're like, as we're talking, we're just so excited. We're like, oh, well, wait a minute. All of the houses, you know, they're just, it's getting less and less houses. There's not as many and less populated. And like, well, you know, I read a review online. One of the negatives of the Arenal Observatory Lodge is there's a long dirt road and it just takes a while to get there. So like, oh, no big deal. But we kept on trekking along, and the path became less a two-track path, and it got to be more narrow. Like, man, have cars gone on this path before? And there was this uncertainty of like, well, yeah, I think we should continue. The GPS is saying move ahead. And at one point, the little rocks and the pebbles got to be bigger boulders, and I remember vividly like sitting behind the wheel and spinning the tires and thinking, it's time to kick into 4x4. And so I pushed the button, engaging all four tires, and we're just like bouncing, going up this hill, and like, oh yeah, this is great. I love adventuring in Costa Rica. And so we like mounted, it's like those Jeep commercials, like they're climbing on, like we were just having a ton of fun. And we came over this little spot, and then we were continuing on, and then all of a sudden, lo and behold, there was this giant tree that had fallen on this road, and at this point, 4x4 isn't going to take care of that. That's where these guns were going to take care of that. So we got out and was leaning down, ready to just pick up that tree and move it, and I think it just dawned on Jody and I at the same time, like, hold on a minute. We made reviews online. This cannot be the right path that we should be on. You know, we're going to this hotel, and so we pulled out the map, and we're looking like, you know what? I think this is like some third season road or something. I don't think they get snow in Costa Rica or anything, but we're like, this is not a very common path. And so as we were pausing and thinking through, we're going to have a different path that we need to head down to get to our destination, which is the hotel. And as I was thinking about that, ultimately, as Steve was sharing last week, we really have the same goal of going and making disciples, just how we were on this path to this goal, getting to this hotel, and at which point God put some barriers in our lives, and as sometimes he puts barriers in your lives, and he reroutes us. He takes us a different path, saying, hey, I've still got the same goal for you, but making disciples is going to look a little bit different for you. And so sometimes we hold off in our pause for a minute as we pull out the map and in prayer and wrestle and just say, hey, what path do you have me on? And I think other times, sometimes we stall on the path of making disciples because it's kind of like this tire. A friend of mine shared this illustration with me, and it was pretty profound in my life. And he just said, sometimes discipleship obedience in action is similar to a wheel. And the one that he showed me had four spokes, and this one thankfully has more than that. Otherwise, Jody would have trouble when she's on the path. But it represents, of course, at the center, where everything happens, the center is Jesus. But ultimately, some of the things necessary for movement represent four spokes, just to have to be rooted and grounded in prayer, and to have that be a huge component. To have another spoke to be fellowship with other Christians, to be walking with other believers, other disciples, to do it together, to be connected to the church. Another one being rooted and grounded in God's word, just daily bathing ourselves, transforming, renewing our mind in his word. And then that other spoke, evangelism. Are we sharing the good news? Are we experiencing the goodness of sharing the hope that we have in Jesus with others? And you can imagine if this had four spokes and one of them was taken out, it would create essentially a flat tire where it just wouldn't work properly, and there wouldn't be able to be the momentum that's designed there. And so it was challenging for me to think through, wow, where am I lacking in those areas? And the joy of being able to be on this path and journey of making disciples. And so as Jody and I were pausing and just thinking through, hey, what is God up to, as we had this increasing uncertainty of what path God had for us as we were making disciples. If you shift to the next slide, as we were placing ourselves in God's hand and saying, where would you have us? Where would you direct us? We found ourselves hearing God say, hey, I've got a different path. I still want you to be making disciples, but I want you to focus on making disciples in a different setting, in a different context, making disciples outside the church so that people can hear. We didn't really know exactly how things were going to come together at the time, but I am preparing a path and a road for you that just looks a little different than the path that you have been on. And it's not unlike God to reroute us like that, as I shared just through our letter, just highlighting, hey, God is in the same way that Paul was heading to some different areas to preach and share the gospel and to make disciples, instantly and almost overnight, as like we were holding this tree and saying, wait a minute, this just doesn't seem right. We are being rerouted. We're being taken to a different path. And in a similar fashion, Paul had this vision from Macedonia saying, hey, would you come and preach the gospel to us? There are people that don't know about Jesus. And so he was obedient, and he went. It just kind of almost reminds me even of Jesus as he was heading to Galilee, how he went. He took a different path and put himself in touch with a different culture, a different, you know, a sovereign appointment with the woman at the well, where he was able to share the living water that this woman was needing. And so I'm so glad that God does that. But if you go to the next slide, I think Paul, in reflecting, this is that some people are called to different paths. And if you type in head to this any destination in Google Maps or Apple Maps or whatever one you use, a lot of times there's just different ways of getting there. And for Paul, he was uniquely called to the Gentiles. And as Paul reflects on it in Acts 22:21, he says, then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. So a very distinct people group, a very distinct culture. In our case, it's not really far away, although you could make the argument maybe it is a little far away, because we used to just walk right across the street. And now, some of the area that God has us ministering is over at Riverside Middle School, just several blocks away, so very far. I've just been chewing on that word go, that Steve challenged us with from the Great Commission. What did Jesus challenge and encourage us to do? The last thing he said before going up to heaven, just to be with the Father before returning back to earth, he said, hey, I want you to go and make disciples. And as I've been chewing on that word go, and just thinking like, hey, you know what, when we as a church, when we as followers of Christ aren't going, when we're not making disciples, you see the church in decline. And right now, not every church, but the church in general in the U.S. is in decline. And it's exciting to see that there are many churches that are serious about following God, that are connected in prayer and in fellowship and in God's word and are sharing Christ with others, and there's growth. And so I thought, man, what a great thing, just as how when it's time for us to disperse, a while back as Marcus was teaching through Matthew, he brought up a map, and there were all these pushpins of different places that we all go. So all of us, some of us go to the office, some of us go to the mechanic, some of us go and work at schools, and some of us go and work in home, and all of us have the opportunity to be about making disciples. Some of us to areas where people have never heard about Jesus. Some of us are in the process of making disciples with helping to continue make disciples of people who are already following God. And what a great opportunity we have. And so, I mean, it sounds simple enough, right? Just go and make disciples, go, okay, no big deal. But why, what holds us back so many times? Like why, if it's such a simple task, what holds us back, do you think, sometimes from making disciples? And I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, if you go to the next slide, I had an opportunity to go on a men's retreat to Camp Barakal. And nope, that's not me. I don't know who that is. Property of a Facebook picture of the day from Camp Barakal. But I remember one of the opportunities on a men's retreat. Rob, do you remember that? Rob was there. I think Bruce McJones was there. A few of us. So we were just having an exciting, fun time at Camp Barakal. And one of the activities we got to do was a zip line. And I had never done a zip line. But I had done, working with Dave Romilly, I had done some high ropes things before, just as an instructor. And so we got to the little house where you get all the safety equipment on, your harness and all that, and you hear the spiel from the person, hey, you know, this zip line will hold, you know, if you're scared or anything, this will hold like a Volkswagen Jeep and just fine, so it'll hold you, and here's how you work the harness. I'm like, oh, come on, let's just get to the zip line. Forget the safety procedures. Look at that platform up there. That looks so fun. Like, it was like really high up. It looked like, I wish it was bigger, and I just can't carry it around with carrying on like, yeah, I kind of wish it was bigger. And I think I really did. We started to go up the steps to this platform at Camp Barakal, and I don't have a picture that depicts how high it was, but we all get to the very top of the platform, all of us fellas that are ready to go on this zip line, and they're like, so we need somebody to go. And of course, I was like, yeah. He's like, Jim, are you ready to go? I'm like, yeah, let's do this. So I kind of wandered over to the edge, and then suddenly my heart just got leapt a little bit more, and there were some more butterflies in my stomach than I had realized. And as I approached the edge, I started to look down, and I was like, whoa, 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 hold on a minute. People have done this before and lived. And I was like, wait, this is gonna hold. Can you just double check that you can make sure that my harness is on okay? It doesn't seem tight enough. Can you? And this huge fear swept over me as the guide said, hey, when you're ready, go. Simple enough, right? Until you're standing on the edge, and when you realize, when you step off, there's nothing to hold you except for the harness and this cable that goes straight down and for a long ways. And so we found ourselves in that spot, and it made me wonder, hey, sometimes there really is a real and genuine fear of following Jesus' path, isn't there? Like sometimes when something wrong is happening, when there's injustice taking place, sometimes there's a real and legitimate fear to say, hey, that's not right. We need to stand up for truth here. Sometimes there's this fear of sharing Christ with a neighbor, with a coworker, or even just speaking the truth in love with a friend, this whole process of making disciples, easy enough, right? But there's this really fear of, man, are they going to think I'm like the goody two-shoes Christian person, or what will they think of me? What if they reject me? What if they do come to know Christ, and then I'm responsible for discipling them, and then I don't have time for that? I think if we're honest with ourselves, following Jesus is not, in some ways it is immensely simple, and in some ways there really is a real and genuine fear sometimes in just taking that step and just saying, hey. And if Jody and I are honest, we were really fearful of taking that step and heading towards a different path of, like, we don't know exactly what that looks like. We have just general glimpses. And for me, I'm just thinking, man, that just seems like a disaster financially, you know, to just cut off a paycheck and, wow, we've got a mortgage to pay and we have bills, and that process might take a long time, and that just doesn't seem great. And this fear of, like, really? Us? God wants to use us? And, like, he could choose somebody that has their lives a little bit more together. And this fear of, like, man, I'm not always perfectly patient. I'm not always perfectly, sometimes I deceive people. Sometimes I'm a people pleaser. And sometimes I just really struggle to trust God in things. And why in the world me? And all these, as we step towards the edge of, are we really going to do this? We had this immense fear. And yet at the same time, at about the same time, we had been reading through the book of Jonah in the Jesus Storybook Bible, and we realized, wow, there's a pretty big fear of stepping outside of God's plan as well. So if you go to the next slide, I figured that if Marcus can put my face in Lucky Charms, Jody really wanted to make this fish and put my face in it and just saying, hey, you know what? If God is clearly calling us to do something different, then actually we can trust him in this. We certainly don't want to go outside of God's plan, but as we were wrestling with this, almost even just wrestling as Jonah wrestled with God in the belly of the whale, I'm hearing that VeggieTales song, in the belly of the whale. God, in the midst of that fear, came to us, and the truths that we knew, hey, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Not ashamed of the power of God, of the gospel, because it's the power of God. And we're like, do we really believe that? Do we really believe in the same way, hey, the harness is great, and yep, that'll hold you. And sometimes when life is a little bit easier and we're coasting, it's easy to cling to those verses from a knowledge perspective. But when God is specifically calling us, when he's calling you to specifically step out and do something in following him, there can be real and genuine fear there. And as we were wrestling in the midst of that, God reminded us that he was with us, and that knowledge transferred into a trust in him. We were realizing that trust in following him is more than just academic knowledge, that there's a huge relational component of that when it comes to God. And as we spent that time in prayer, he gave us the courage to step out. And it reminds me of, there's a great spiritual hero, Henry Nouwen. I've done some of his reading, and he recounts being at a circus one time. And he was just with a friend, and he was watching the trapeze artists go back and forth. And he was just captivated by it. And he talked with one of them afterwards, and he was so, with the people that fly off the platform, and then somebody catches them. And he had this to say about his observations of being at the circus. He said, one day I was sitting with Rodley, the leader of the troupe. I'm not sure what that is, but in his caravan, talking about flying. He said, as a flyer, I must have complete trust in my catcher. The public might think that I am the great star of the trapeze, but the real star is Joe, my catcher. He has come to be there for me with split-second precision and grab me out of the air as I come to him in the long jump. How does it work? I asked. The secret, Bradley said, is that the flyer does nothing and the catcher does everything. When I fly to Joe, I simply have to stretch out my arms and hands and wait for him to catch me and pull me safely over the apron behind the catch bar. And that just really captured us in terms of like, man, this feeling like, wow, we need to be strong and we need to have it together. And just, you know what? Sometimes the greatest strength is, God is the greatest through our weakness. And so in weakness and simply doing nothing, we recently stepped off in full trust of God. And the ride has been incredible. To see how God has provided, how those verses have just come to reality and fruition, and you're like, God has paved the road ahead. Look at how he's providing above what we could have imagined. And it's almost more of a story of our lack of trust in him than of this great and strong trust in his goodness. As our prayer was, Lord, hey, we believe, but help us to believe. And so, as we pulled out the map and just said, hey, what does this look for us? We kind of had this general idea of, hey, here's the type of thing God is calling us to, but not really knowing exactly how we were going to get there or what that would look like. And as early September, as we were talking to different community leaders that work in urban ministry, figuring out what does this look like? Should we join, you know, a parachurch organization, a mission agency? You know, what does that look like? Should we start a nonprofit? Didn't want to do that. There's a lot of administration in that. Several people kept on saying, you need to talk with Henry Bauma. And I had known Henry Bauma from working in a student leadership program a while ago, Grand Rapids Initiative of Leaders. And so Jody and I talked with Henry and Jackie over lunch. And as we heard from them, we began to realize, wow, God is, this is going to be a good fit. And so we have joined the I-58 portion of the Navigators. Henry and Jackie are with the Navigators. And so we've joined I-58, that stands for Isaiah 58. And I'm going to share a little bit more about that with you. And Henry had desired to be here and share personally. So Henry and his wife will be kind of like a mentor and coach, supervisor for Jody and I as we are joining the I-58 Navigators. But there's a video that we would like to show where Henry will just share for a couple of minutes. So you can fast forward to that.
My name is Henry Bauma. I'm on staff with the Navigators. My title is City Director for I-58 in Grand Rapids. The Navigators are an organization that started during World War II. Focusing on the military at that time, where their focus was evangelism and discipleship. But they also wanted not just disciple somebody, but they were thinking generationally. So if I'm going to disciple you, how now I want you to go and what I taught you, go and pass it on to others. It's the 2 Timothy 2:2 principle where Paul tells Timothy the things I have taught you, now go teach others so that they can teach others. And that's been the heart of the Navigators for the last 85 or so years. And today they're in, obviously still in the military, but they're also in colleges all over the country. They're in over 100 countries around the world. I am part of the NAVs. The last few years, they've started an urban, doing more stuff in the urban setting. And we call ourselves I-58, based on Isaiah 58, where God is telling Israel he wants them to go to the broken and the hungry and help them and turn them into something beautiful. God's going to do it, but he's using us. So my wife, Jackie, and myself are on staff with that. And the other thing the NAVs are all about is the idea of partner up with other organizations, with people, and walking through life with them. Jackie and I met the Navigators back in 1980, so just a couple years ago. And we, for many years, have always, through our time with the NAVs, our focus has been, I would say, more on in communities and neighborhoods where we lived and so on. So how we live out the calling of raising up leaders and laborers for God and equipping them so that they can impact others and actually raise up the next generation and the next generation after that of laborers for God. Is we 16 years ago moved into the Roosevelt Park neighborhood. It's over on the corner. It's over by Hall and 131. And we have a ministry house there. And for the last 16 years, we've been part of the community, but we've also been intentionally working with youth in the neighborhood, starting middle school, high school, but walk with them through life. And so obviously we want to get them connected to God, but we also help them if it's with schooling, jobs, life issues, family stuff, marriage down the road, babies, whatever. We do that with people who walk through life with them. And that's our passion. And that's how we are really living out what we feel is God's calling on our life, but also part of what the Navigators are all about, which is impacting people. So it's really life on life. And it's been a cool experience to see how God's used us over the years, because today we're impacting, God's opened up doors for us to do work with people that are international from all over the world, and in a culture that's totally different than what we grew up with. So God's teaching us a lot through our experience here in Grand Rapids. What I'm excited about Jim and Jody coming on staff with the Navigators is I've known Jim for a long time, but as I've just in the last few months, as he's looking at coming on staff with the Navigators, what excites me is I walk through his neighborhood with him, through his community, and seeing the relationships he already has in that neighborhood and what God is already doing there through different ministries. I'm excited about the fact that, and just listening to him, he has his passion to also impact people and raise up leaders and laborers for God and build relationships in the neighborhood. And I've seen that happen. And now I think with him coming on staff of the Navigators, we can even further equip him and help him to live out God's calling on both their lives. And I feel he's going to be a great blessing to our city staff, the other staff that we have in Grand Rapids, and he'll be a great asset for us. So we're excited about Jim and Jody coming on staff with the Navigators, and like I said, to support them and walk with them and to be part of our team. And I want to say thank you to Berean for supporting Jim and Jody financially, but also with your prayers and all the different ways you've shown your love towards them over the last couple of months here. I've witnessed some of that, and it's been a beautiful thing. And I just want to say thank you for all you're doing now, but also what you're going to do in the future.
So that's Henry, and it's been a joy to get to know he and his wife a little bit better. And as you see, just the I-58 markers, what is the flavor of, you know, I-58? What does that look like? You'll see whole life discipleship, which is essentially come alongside a holistic ministry, just realizing that so many youth in urban settings lack many resources that many of us can take for granted. Sometimes that's just a dad being present. Sometimes that's simple knowledge on how to cook, you know, you name it, figuring out how to get a driver's license. Relationships and presence in the same way that Jesus incarnated and became flesh and dwelt among us, having a presence is significant and important. Local heroes is about, hey, it's not about us, it's about, you know, God is in the city and it's helping local heroes, local youth to know who he is and help them to lead. Generations and longevity, sharing Christ through generations, and you think about sometimes the cycles, the patterns that are there. Sometimes it takes a few generations. Sometimes it takes a long time for some things to change in discipleship. But look at the joy of when somebody does come to know Christ, just how it's not just that one person that they influence and disciple others. And really, essentially, kind of the strategy is partnership rather than reinventing the wheel and coming up with tons of programs. there are a lot of great ministry partners and coming alongside. Sometimes 1 + 1 = 10 in terms of just the doing things together aspect. And so it's been a blessing to exist in partnership, but also realizing that we're not a one-stop shop. You know, just discipleship is involves tons of people. And as Jody and I were thinking and talking about this, we realized, man, Champagne Brewer has had just so many of these really neat things. Just some of these show up in her life when we talked about her story and how God brought her to the point where she is. And so she wanted to come up and share just a couple of things.
Hi, can you hear? Oh, you can. All right. So first I want to say thank you. Thank you for being supportive and always loving me. I know he's not here, but I want to thank Greg Jewell for picking me up for a whole year, faithfully taking me to small group for youth group. Words can't explain how much that meant to me. So thank you. Thank you, Jim Bartels, for helping me when I couldn't afford to make it to KAA or even winter retreats. You always made a way for me to go, and that meant the world to me. Thank you, Donna Wood, for always being my mentor and being my friend over the last few years. This friendship is everything and more. Thanks to the small group I attend at Dan and Jody Bartels' house, we may not meet a lot, but the 2 hours we spend on Sunday nights are everything to me. Thanks for always having encouraging words from me. Trust me, I take that to heart. Thank you, Dan and Kay, for taking me into your beautiful home and showing me what a family's supposed to look like. I appreciate that. Now I know what to expect when it comes to creating my own. Thank you, Berean Baptist Church, for always being here for me through prayer, support, and always being a helping hand. Thank you for accepting me when I got pregnant. Thank you for accepting my daughter, even though I did it the wrong way. You guys always was a helping hand and loving her the way you love me. I can't express how much that helped me become the mother that I am today. You may not think that you can create a relationship with the kids in the community, but it's the small things that matter. So do the small things with them like you did with me, and that will build the best relationship. And again, I want to say thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing, Champagne. We asked her if she'd be willing to, just through our relationship over the years, just aware of how many people have poured into her life and just the different ways that so many of you have come alongside of her. And I think a lot of, in her story, like we see a lot of these markers, just the whole life discipleship, just how she shared how, you know, Greg was there to give her a ride when she didn't have transportation. Work projects were made available when the funds weren't there. Just people coming alongside and caring about her in so many different ways. And just the relationships and the presence. Donna Wood in high school became her prayer partner, and that's a role that she's continued through the years, and just not just praying for Champagne, but letting her know that she's praying for her and asking her how she can pray, and just that deeper connection in small group. And I know how much that small group has been there for each other and for Champagne. And in terms of local heroes, Champagne didn't really touch on this one, but I know that as so many of you have poured into her, she has that desire. God has built that desire in her to pour into others. And when Champagne was in high school, God really laid it on her heart to reach some of those kids that she had gone to the route with here at church. It used to be a young kids outreach program that we ran, and Champagne came up through that. And while she was in high school, she reached out to a lot of the girls that she had gone through that with, and just a desire for them to reconnect and to grow deeper in God's word. Generations in Longevity, you heard how she wants to raise Peyton, and just that to teach Peyton about God and the big God story, and how all of you also have a part in helping come alongside Peyton and our kids too. Like, that's something I appreciate too. Just Brian's investment in children and growing up the next generation in partnership. Like, it's not something that just one person does. That wasn't a story of, hey, this one person was there for me and has done everything for me, and here I am today. No, it's a whole church family. It's our whole, the church, coming alongside in partnership. And that's something that is very relevant here in the community, where Jim and I's passion and what we feel called from God to reach out and be a piece of that towards the youth in our community. But that's something also that each and every one of us can do, all the places that God has us, of, you know, being there and being attentive and going back to the go. What part can you do to go to those that you're already in contact with? Some of you may be called to go far away, like Paul was to the Gentiles, or Steve and Becky to Germany, but we're being called to go right here, where we already live. We don't even have to move. So I want to just challenge you guys to be part of that puzzle, part of the relational community that God brings around people, and to look for ways that you can help people out and point them to God. And I think these markers, at least for me, are a lot of what really resonated with me with the Navigators and I-58. When we were being officially interviewed by the directors of the Navigators, I-58 chapter, they asked us to share, why do you want to join us? Like, why us? Why? What's the piece that makes you guys want to be here? And Jim and I just really shared our heart and our passion for just a relational discipleship to the youth in our community. And after we shared, they kind of chuckled, and they're like, well, let's pull up our markers and what we stand for, and you guys hit on every single one of these points. And that just really resonated, and I think that was just kind of the aha moment of, yeah, this is a fit. Like, they're passionate what we're passionate about, and that's why we're so excited to join the Navigators and to partner with them as we begin our not really begin our outreach to the community, because Jim's lived here in the community for over 16 years now, and I for over 11, but to just begin that intentional next stage of our lives. And Jim is gonna come back and share what we're doing right now and what the road ahead looks like.
Yeah, we've just been excited, just as God has just in so many ways taken us for a joyride, highlighting his greatness and his glory, and like, look how I've paved the road ahead for you. So if you go to the next slide, let me just share just real quickly some of those partners. We've been able to partner with Urban Transformation Ministries, and so one of our local heroes lives across the street, my neighbor Trent, who runs a basketball program on Tuesday nights, and so I've been able to come alongside him for the sake of discipleship. Just helping to run that aspect of the program. We've been able to continue to partner with Young Life. Yesenia, who kind of leads the Young Life program, and it meets right here at Berean in the youth room on Thursday evenings. And every other week, There's something called Club, where we invite students. It's a party with a purpose, where they can play games and eat pizza, do fun things. And then there's just a 10-minute introduction to who is Jesus. And then we invite them back to Bible study. And I think for me, one of the most exciting things was being able to be present in the community. And as we've gone into Riverside, I've been going to Riverside Middle School several times a week, eating breakfast or lunch and just being present with the students. And it's been great to get to know the staff. And there are a few Christians on staff at Riverside that have been praying for God to send, you know, a Christ-centered presence. And with Young Life and just with us being able to be there has been impacting. And so the last couple times we've had Club, the last time we had 18 students come from Riverside, so it's just exciting to see that. But I think even more exciting was just Bible study. A few weeks ago, we did Bible study, and we invited students to come. And as we were leading in a Bible study, we had four students come, you know, from the 18 down to four. And but it was incredible to see how God had created a thirstiness for the gospel. As we opened God's word together, there was just question after question after question. And there was, one of them just said, can we pause for a minute and can we get some notebooks out of our backpack because we want to write down some things. And another time they just said, is there any way we could take this Bible home with us so we can keep reading it? And then we'll bring it back next week, we promise. And I said, of course. And as we dismissed from that Bible study, they went over to the library right across the parking lot, and they once again, just on their own, opened up God's word and were reading and taking notes. And Jody encountered them, you know, at the library. And if you go to the next slide, the next time, here's a few of the students. This was last week, Thursday. This is this past Thursday. And so this was Bible study last Thursday, and there was no time to answer the amount of questions that they had about God. How did God always exist? How does that work? How can God just forgive us? How come, you know, I've always just wondered about Jesus and God, and how do they, who's who, and they're just question after question, and they were interrupting one another with questions, and there was just a thirstiness. And we were able to have several of those students over to our home for dinner and just continue to share the hope that we have in Christ. And they were just like, can we do Bible study every week rather than club? And so we're able to, outside of some of those regularly programmed time, are setting patterns with students, having them over for Bible study. And so it's just so great to hear and see how God is setting the path before us when really we've done nothing. And sharing with one of the teachers, tears were welling up in her eyes as I was recounting the story of these students that came to Bible study and just the thirst that was there. And praise be to God who has created the fields ripe for harvest. And so we celebrate his goodness and are so excited for just the amazing journey it is to step out in faith when God gives us that trust. And so rather than inviting my son Caleb up to sing a song, and with Steve, I think Garth could probably do it better than I would sing as a song in closing for us. And I think I was myself and ran over the stop sign a little bit for time, Garth. But if you would like to, Jody and I have created a prayer card of some ways that you could pray for us near the mic counter. If you'd like to stop by and get one, or if you'd like to sign up for our prayer newsletter, we have some ways that you can sign up for that. So we'll be out through those double doors afterwards. So thank you for the opportunity.